I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in the studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. My wife and I were talking, I think I said on the show a few months ago, I said something about that of all my clients that have been struck by, was it cold calls? You know, basically cold call, tech support people, random messages on your computer. I've actually had a couple instances of the one that comes up that says your computer has been blocked. Have you seen that one?
It blocked.
Yeah. Yeah. It just basically, it just locks up the screen of your computer. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't actually infect your computer, but you have to do, like, if you're on a laptop, you've got to do a full, complete reboot of the system to get it out of it. And a lot of people don't know that in order to reboot a laptop, just pecking at the power button just puts it to sleep.
Yeah.
That you basically have to press and hold the power button for like 20, 25 seconds until it just completely powers off, and then power it back on. But anyway, so, you know, we were talking about how the one thing that people who've been struck by these, you know, cold calls and these, you know, they're like drive-bys, right? Those
absolutely,
you know, drive-by malware that you get on the internet and things like that. The one thing that the people that I've dealt with that have had in common is that none of them listen to Geek Speak.
And, absolutely.
And my wife pointed out, she says, well, that's negative. You need to work that into positive. And I need to say that all of the people that I know who have not succumbed to those types of threats, or actually 85% of them, were listeners of Geek Speak. So I'm putting it in a positive note, you know. So
there you go.
Anyway, we're glad you're listening and keeping yourself safe, because there is still a lot of mischief afoot.
Absolutely.
Out there. And so
call in with your questions, 963-2976. And if you're a little further out, 970-963-2976. Call in with your questions. Talk about, you know, how you've been manipulated on the internet with malware and cold calls and all kinds of fun things from the IRS and others.
Yep. Looks like we got a call already.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
Oh, it's our foreign correspondent.
That's right. All the way from not-so-sunny California today.
Yeah?
But it's all, yeah. I hear the drought is over in Northern California, and we're hoping that in Southern California it will be over soon. But anyway, yeah.
Well, that's great. We've actually had the warmest, wettest January that I personally can remember. You know, I've lived out here since 1975, and it's been crazy.
It's been warm and wet.
Yeah.
It's
been a mix of rain and snow today. So.
Well, I don't have a question for you guys, but I do have a comment. It's kind of a question. You know, it's interesting, when I was a kid, we would go to our neighbor's house. You know, there were kids all around the neighborhood, and people never locked their doors. And when we would go over to our friend's house, we would literally just walk in and kind of announce ourselves and not bother even knocking, actually. Mm-hmm. And then it got to a point when you got older, you know, now you need to knock. And then it got to be where you needed to call before you came over. And I'm curious, now it's almost to the point where you have to text before you call. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a level of security that I haven't seen quite yet. But
usually here it's the doors open, come in, but they know I'm going to show up at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So I don't know about the...
I was going to say, because nobody knocks on my door.
Well, you know what I mean. It just seems like things with texting, it's almost like people just expect you to text now rather than call. And sometimes I've heard people actually get irritated when somebody calls, because they say, don't call me, text me, because I'm at work, or, you know, I may be busy or whatever, and they don't want to have to listen to a message, you know. So anyway, I just... thought.
Well, you know, I'm going to venture that, and, you know, because I was experiencing a little bit of digital road rage today, you know, because I probably get 4 or 5, maybe 6, 7, just, you know, junk spam phone calls a day. And, you know, I was just thinking about how nice life would be if every phone call that you got was like a phone call that you wanted. You know,
right.
It's, and I don't mean, you know, like 86ing bill collectors out of your life. Cause if you forget to pay your bills, sometimes it's nice to have a reminder, but, you know, I'm really, you know, one of my New Year's resolutions is I'm really going to work on, blacklisting as many phone numbers as I possibly can, you know, cause I don't know if our listeners know this trick, but you know, for the most part, if there's a phone number that constantly keeps showing up on your caller ID, you can usually Google that phone number and it'll tell you, you know,
what kind of scam it is,
who it is, or where it's coming from, or if it happens to be your auto finance company and you forgot to make your car payment and you know, you might want to call them back. You know, sometimes they're legit and, but
they'll probably leave a message.
Yeah. So, so I would venture that I think it's just too much volume, you know, it's, what do you think about that, Donna?
Well, I think there is a lot of volume and there is a lot of noise. I often like to get texts if it's just information only, but if somebody has to have a conversation with me, then I prefer a phone call. That's just me.
Yeah.
But not everybody's like that. Some people will have this whole conversation over text about what time do you want to meet, where do you want to meet. And to me, it's easier just to pick up the phone, but not everybody likes that or wants that.
You know, I'm good with logistics and information. You know, I'm okay with setting up meetings that way and everything. But the minute that there's an emotional piece, you got to make the call. You know,
right.
It's like, I think as a matter of fact, that's the saying that you turned me on to. And I've always remembered that. It's like, make the call.
Well, there's no inflection with typing or it's very difficult.
And yeah.
There's somebody's working on some Unicode, periods.
They're called emojis, Matt.
No, this is different than that. So, but different kinds of periods and uh-huh. punctuation and the different shapes mean what kind of inflection to read the sentence with.
Got it.
Other thing I wanted to mention as far as on a different subject is when you're texting somebody an address, it's helpful if you text the entire address with even the city and the zip code, because if then in a text you can click on it and it will launch Google Maps. Whereas if you just put in the address only and not the full address, then you have to either go copy it and paste it. So it's just a lot easier for people if you're sending them an address to send the whole address.
Or you can do it the other way around and go into Google Maps, type in the address, make sure it shows up in the right place, and then hit do share and then send it to text. And then it'll send them a link. And I do this often, and sometimes when I need to be more specific, you can, you know, you type in the address, but it's like you really want them to, you know, it's not quite right. You can click and hold on that location, drop a pin, and then share the pin and give them the exact location. You know, you'll have to type in the address as well. So give them an additional hint, but that, you know, that drop pin is going to be exactly where you dropped it.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I've always had kind of mixed luck with sharing pins. Sometimes it's really easy and other times, and I think part of that's because, you know, I like get mixed up between Google World and Apple World. And Apple World doesn't really do pins necessarily. They don't have, you know, quite an equivalent of that. But,
you know what I did use a pin for recently was when I went to a UCLA football game, because where I parked was really, it's just huge area by the Rose Bowl.
Uh-huh.
It was really convenient to park and drop a pin where my car was.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was in downtown Denver. And we were in downtown Denver on Friday afternoon and, you know, went to a place and had some appetizers. And I had to run back to my car to get my code, I think, or something. And my phone, you know, basically popped up and said, you know, if you keep going 600 more steps down this street, that'll be where you parked your car.
Is that it did, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think what it is, I didn't investigate it too much to see exactly which technology was doing that for me, but, I was thinking that it was either the phone paid attention to when the Bluetooth connection to the car was severed and, you know, figured that's where I parked or something. And I don't, you know, I'll look into it more and see, you know.
I know that Google Maps is, testing, parking availability, information on the maps, in some key locations. I think San Francisco and a few others.
Yeah.
Well, I know when I get into my car, it used to be, and I've turned it off since, but it used to be where it would say 6 minutes to work.
Uh-huh.
Because I literally live like 6 minutes to work.
Yeah.
But it would tell me how far I was, yeah. So yeah. It was kind of creepy, but anyway,
it's kind of creepy, but it's pretty smart. I mean, on you know, when I get in my car on Tuesdays, it'll go, you know, 32 minutes to Basalt for band practice, you know.
Right,
and,
yeah.
So anyway,
I just wanted to bring that up, and
hey.
I hope those little tips help a few people.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks. I'll
thanks for checking in.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. It was Donna Dalton, our foreign correspondent, calling from not-so-sunny California.
Yes. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. We're here to answer your tech questions, or you can change the topic of discussion or whatever you'd like.
Yep. As long as we don't go to football. So.
Yes.
I have this uncanny ability to predict the losers of every playoff game. I've been doing it for years.
Excellent.
The problem is that because I think they're going to win, I don't have the confidence to bet on them to lose. And I could have made literally thousands of dollars by now, but it just doesn't work that way. So
it looks like Firefox 51 will be released tomorrow for us, bringing FLAC audio support, WebGL2, and some other goodies and improvements.
Uh-huh. Really? So you'll be able to stream FLAC? It'll play FLAC streams?
And, it looks like FLAC supports surround sound, so you can have your 5 or more.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a huge step up. That's, for our listeners who don't know, FLAC stands for Fully Lossless Audio Compression.
Free lossless.
Free lossless.
It's it's patent unencumbered.
Oh, I was
like,
even...
Org.
Got it. I was even more... optimistic though, fully, you know, but it is free.
It is lossless.
Yeah.
So it maintains the quality that went into the mm-hmm. recording all the way through. So,
yeah. So, you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, you wonder like if you copy an audio file directly off of a CD, into what we call wave format, which is the original lossless audio format,
yes.
Supposedly
uncompressed,
yeah.
Which is the big difference.
That's right. It's an uncompressed lossless audio format, and if you do that, the average song's going to run anywhere between 50 and 80 megabytes in size. And so this thing called MP3 came along a bunch of years ago, which really hasn't changed that much since it first came out. But what MP3 does is it does what's called dithering, and dithering basically, you know, it takes and it rather than chopping the audio up into what is it
44,100
44,100 slices basically
per second
or spectrums.
Yeah.
All right. No, 44,100 per second. But then what's the audio rate of
So you have the samples per second, mm-hmm. which is 44.1,
yeah,
and then you have your bits of depth,
your bit rate, and what is the bit rate on a wave file?
So a CD is 16,
okay,
16 bits,
okay, yeah. So that basically 16 bit basically means that it is the sound is sampled out into 16,000, or the audio
was 65,000 possible amplitudes.
Well, I don't mean amplitudes; I mean frequencies. You know, as far as they chop the audible human sound range up into a bunch of slices is what it is.
Right.
And so one of the things that makes MP3 so much smaller, because a MP3 will be anywhere between 3 yeah. and 7 megabytes.
It's about 10 to 1.
Yeah,
so
something like that.
Usually I say wave is somewhere around 10 megabytes per minute, and an MP3 of quote CD quality will be near 1 megabyte a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... so basically what you get is with an MP3, and it especially shows up in the high frequencies. That's where I seem to notice it.
Yeah. They cut out some of the imaging quality.
Yeah,
some of the
symbols get kind of, you know, they start to kind of,
they get
kind
mushy,
of shimmery, you know, is the way that I like to describe it. So, So 963-2976, the number people can call. If you've got something broken, we can save you a little bit of money.
Maybe a bunch of time.
Yeah, we know, because we charge people money to fix stuff. And so, you know, along that theme, I was I had a really bad week with passwords last week. I spent a lot of time resetting and recovering and retrieving passwords for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to recover somebody's domain registration and all that.
That was messy.
Not fun. Yeah. Good thing it was a company.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a number of different reasons to like keep good track of your passwords, you know, and there are a lot of different ways to do it. I'm not really here to preach about that necessarily. I suppose we can kind of go into that a little bit, but there are a lot of different reasons to do it. But the number one reason to do it is because if Matt and I have to, or I have to come over to your house and deal with, like, if we can't, like, get right down to the really geeky stuff and, like, have to deal, you know, spend 5 or 10 minutes dealing with passwords, we get cranky. So, at least I'll speak for myself. I get cranky. So, it's...
That's one of the things that you can, you know, save us time and save you money.
Uh-huh.
Is, you know, have your passwords available so mm-hmm. that when we say, hey, we need to get into your email account, what's the password? You know, you can go... And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times I'll just have them type it in.
Yeah.
Because I just don't even want to know it.
I just want to throw this out there, that I don't have one is not an acceptable answer.
You have one. Period.
Yeah.
It might be horse or dog or cat or log me in 123 or something.
Yeah. If you have email and you think that you don't have an email password, you're wrong. So it's probably a good idea to find out what it is as soon as you possibly can. If not, go out and change it, you know. It's remember, though, if you change it, you're going to have to change it on all your devices. But that is just part of living in the digital age.
Yeah. So then you can you can use a call command.
No. There was a bug zeroing in on me.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, I was going to say that I was thinking about, you know, how in personal finance programs, you can break your income, you know, like your expenses or whatever into a pie chart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a good sized slice of pie in my pie chart that says resetting people's passwords.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably 25%.
That's not super technical. You know, it's like you don't
know. But finding the right support number to call is getting more technical.
This is true. Yeah.
So you have to be real careful when you're, you know, calling mm-hmm. Yahoo or whoever your email provider is, and mm-hmm. make sure you're not getting to some third party support company that's out SEO'd.
Yeah.
You know, the big company.
You know, I've noticed that at least on my iPhone anymore, when I search for tech support phone numbers, there are, you know, what seem to be moderated answers that come up, you know, in a box. They're not ads. It's like
Google has said, this is the support number. Don't look at anything else.
Yeah. Google has basically said, you know, that it's like they've created an ultimate directory of what those numbers are, and it will come up in a completely unbranded, you know, it's not a commercial box, but it's an informational box. It'll come right up and go, this is, you know, that's the number for this Apple technical support, you know? And, so, which, you know, actually I had a really good experience with Apple technical support the other day. I was, and actually I don't know if you and I talked about this, Matt, or not, but, I guess it's possible on certain Macs, if you, some people like to do what's called setting a firmware password on their Mac,
uh-huh.
you know, and I got a hold of one where a firmware password had been set and they had forgotten what it was. And there's only one way to fix that. And you have to take it to an Apple store or an authorized service provider. And so if anybody, if our listeners are out there playing around with firmware passwords or entertaining the idea of putting one on there to, you know, keep their kids out of their computer or whatever, just make sure you know what it is, you know. Make sure the caps lock key is turned off or, you know, whatever, you know.
Well, it'll probably make you type it in once or twice at least.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, and... if you want to go old school, you just, you know, get a little notepad mm-hmm. and say, you know, put the account name, username, mm-hmm. password.
Yeah.
And just keep you just
write,
safe.
Write passwords right on the cover of it with the Sharpie. You know?
I've seen that done. Get a new notebook if that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that's, so. It's physical security is usually fairly good.
Yeah. But I was going to say, I've had really good luck with Apple. I want to just, I guess, give kudos to Apple that it used to be with Apple, they would get your serial number and then either your conversation would continue on because you'd purchase or either under warranty or purchased AppleCare or everything would come to a screeching halt. And it's like, so sorry, this is going to be $65 for the first 10 minutes or, you know, whatever their charge is. And the last few times I've called them, they've been very happy to just help me out, get me out of the weeds. And, you know, there was never any discussion of, you know, having to pay, you know, whatever, which I, you know, that's the way it should be done, if you ask me. So I'm just the big Apple fanboy.
Huh. Yeah. Well, they do have good support. You know, usually you can get on the phone, get the information you need and move mm-hmm. along.
Yeah.
There's other ones where it takes a while and it's somewhat annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
being nice to them is very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you have to be firm, but being uh-huh. nice to them helps substantially in many cases.
You know, I always like to push the envelope with those phone support people and see just how much abuse they'll take, you know, because they're trained to take abuse, you know. But I'm just kidding. So, well, we got time for one more call, 963-2976, if anybody wants to give us a ring. And so Donna just texted me a few minutes ago, and I guess SpaceX successfully landed a rocket onto a platform in the ocean. Did you see anything
That's huge.
About that?
I saw a picture of it, and the people are very, very small next to it.
Do you think maybe they're not real? Are they plastic people?
I don't know, but so. I know, you know, when you look at something that I think it's like 200 feet tall.
We got a call.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
The geeks, that's funny. So here's my question / comment. When you get invitations via paperless post or e-vite, et cetera, a lot of times, you know, you want to dump that information into your calendar. Sometimes it has an links to add to your iCal or Google Cal or whatever, but sometimes it doesn't. Is there a way to get around that without having to retype all this information from the e-vite? Or maybe the comment should be, when you're sending an e-vite or a paperless post, put in the body of your message, you know, the date and the...
Put it in plain text is what you're saying.
Yeah, put the information.
Something that somebody can copy and paste.
Yeah, because if you do that in the right order, a lot of mail programs or like Android phones and stuff will pick that information up as something that'll be like, it'll give you an extra little link in there to say, hey, you want to, you know, put this appointment in your calendar, regardless if there's a, you know, like an iCal attachment with the device or with the message to put it into your calendar that way through an attachment.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And does your calendaring app, does it allow you to attach images to a calendar entry?
That would be fantastic. I could just add the invite.
You could take a screenshot of the invite and then attach it to your calendar entry. That's kind of what I was thinking. But yeah, I'll tell you, I really don't know the answer full on as to whether all of them allow that type of a behavior or not. So
we're out of time for today, this week. Call back next week. And
you're kind of breaking up a little bit, too. So do call us back, and let's talk about it next week.
You've been listening to Geek Speak with Louie the Computer Guy.
And Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Have a great evening, everyone.